Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. Recently, students at Mount Pleasant High School, part of Generation Voice, Delaware Public Media's youth radio program there, recorded a conversation with a loved one. Their conversations were inspired by and part of the Great Thanksgiving Listen, a national education project developed by StoryCorps that empowers high school students to create an oral history of the contemporary United States by recording an interview with an elder. Interviews are also entered into the StoryCorps archive at the Library of Congress's Folk Life Center, where they become an invaluable resource for future historians and provide families with a priceless piece of personal history. In this week's Enlighten Me, we bring you a sample of the interviews produced by Generation Voice students at Mount Pleasant High School in the Brandywine School District. First, we hear from Willow, a sophomore, and her conversation with her mother.
I want to talk to you about your post-college experience as a teacher in Japan. What was your first reaction to the job offer?
I was really happy. That was actually my second or third job offer, the one I ended up taking. The other two were in different areas of Japan. And so when this third job offer came along, I was really excited because it was in a suburb of Tokyo. So it was, you know, near the airport, it was near the city, and it turned out to be probably the best choice I could have made for my post-college, you know, first job.
What was it like for the first few months living in a foreign country?
It was hot. Growing up in the west coast of British Columbia, I don't think I ever understood what humidity was. I never understood it could be like that.
How did you meet Dad?
I ran into him, literally. So I started working at MIL, the Language Center, about 6 months before your dad did. I started in August of 1995. He started in the spring of 1996. And it was a Saturday, and I was working in the office because my schedule went Tuesday through Saturday, so I had Mondays off. So there weren't as many classes on Saturdays as there were during the week. And so I was just in the teacher's area prepping my lessons for the day when I heard somebody open the front door. And the secretary wasn't there yet. And usually it was the secretary who would answer, you know, and speak to whoever came through the door. So I came around the corner to see who it was just so I could, you know, stall anyone who came in and find Margaret or someone else who was working there to talk to them. And I ran into your dad, like, you know, smack dab into him. And, you know, famously between, you know, me and him, you know, my first words to him were, "You're tall." And his response was, "I know."
So you and Dad, at least legally, got married in Japan.
Yes.
What was that like?
There were hoops to go through. First of all, we technically had to get permission from both our consulates before we could get married. So both of us had to make trips to our respective consulates in Tokyo to get permission for this. Once we had that, we had to go to City Hall again and actually process the paperwork. But our boss at the school we were teaching at, Margaret Otake, who herself is an American woman married to a Japanese man, she came with us to translate, and so did our Japanese instructor, Kikugo Ikegame. So they both came. They helped us translate the documents and everything. We got married without so much as a congratulations or have a nice day from the man processing the paperwork. He just basically stamped it. You know, you're married. Give us the certificate in Japanese, and we were done. After that, Margaret took us out to lunch at a really nice French restaurant later that day for lunch. And we had hoped to have the day off by ourselves, but it turned out one of the teachers had called in sick. So Andrew ended up going into work for the rest of the night so he could, you know, cover this teacher's classes. And I came home and cooked what he requested for dinner. Now, mind you, we're in Japan. We had just bought ourselves a super deluxe toaster oven where you could bake things in it, and he wanted tuna casserole. So on our wedding night, we had tuna casserole, and when he came back from teaching, he brought home a bottle of Dom Perignon.
So since it is the Thanksgiving holiday, I feel a little obligated to ask you this. What are the things you've been most thankful for in your life?
All in all, I think I have a very happy life. I've got two great kids. You know, everyone has their ups and downs, but I have great kids. You are very creative. You make me laugh. And I love the fact that you're older now and that you and I can talk about a lot of things. Piper is a fireball. She goes a mile a minute. She is interested in so many things. She thinks she's an adult. She's 6 years old. She thinks she's an adult. So, yep. But you're both great kids. You know, I love doing things with both of you. I love our animals. I love my husband. 14, 15 years into my job at AstraZeneca, I still enjoy it. All in all, I think I'm very satisfied. You know, that's not to say that there's other things I don't want to do. I would love to travel more. I wish we lived closer to my family so we could see them. But all in all, I'm very thankful for my life because I have a very happy life.
Thanks to Willow and her mom, we now turn to Michael, a freshman, and his interview with his dad about his reaction to Michael's birth.
So, Dad, do you remember what was going on through your head when you first saw me?
Yeah, the first thing that was going on through my head was how much you look like me and, like, the complexion you were, what color you were when you came out, and if you were safe, because I know the umbilical cord was wrapped around your neck, so that was my main concern. So when I saw that you were okay and when you first started crying, I was relieved. It was like a big relief that you was all right.
How did you choose my name?
Well, that was easy because it's my name, so it's basically a junior. I always wanted my first son to be named after me, so that was the reason.
What was I like as a baby?
Real playful, always laughing. Like, I remember you just laughed all the time, but you were just always laughing from the time you were born all the way till now.
What are your dreams for me?
My dreams for you are to be happy in life. I want you to be whatever you consider to be successful. A lot of times parents have an idea of what they want for their children, but I want you to make your own decisions. And only thing, I feel like my job is to back you up and whatever you want to do. But I would prefer that you be an entrepreneur and be very smart about money and learn how to spend your money, learn how to save it, learn how to invest it, and prepare yourself for your children.
How did you meet my mom?
I met your mother at work. We worked together. We worked at a place called Greif in Twin Oaks. I worked there like a year before your mother did with her brothers. And they got her the job, and that's how I met her.
And the last question I'm asking you is, are you proud of me?
Of course, yeah, I'm proud of you. I believe that you can do a lot better. I believe you can do whatever you put your mind to. Right now you're in your younger years, and I think that the culture has you a little bit, but we're from Chester, so a lot of kids your age are selling drugs, they have guns, they do all types of things, so the direction you're headed in, I'm very proud of it, and I can see you accomplishing your goals if you put your mind to it.
Thanks to Michael and his dad. Next up is Jermaine, a sophomore, who chatted with his grandmother.
Hey, it's Jermaine. I'm here with my grandmother, Gigi, and we're going to be asking her a couple questions. So,
okay, hi, everybody.
Cool. So the first question... How was mother motherhood like for you? And like, how was raising two diverse children like?
Okay. I very much enjoyed being a mother. I mean, yes, it's work and everything, but it's something I wouldn't have missed for the world. I enjoyed my kids. I enjoyed all their different ages. I'm not saying we didn't have our times, but, you know, from the wee babies to the adolescents, I think we had a lot of fun. things kind of changed as they went to college and stuff like that, but raising them was a good, positive experience. As a parent of diverse children, I mean, I learned as a white person a lot that I never would have learned if I didn't have children of color. And so that was a real positive. I feel like I've gotten something that a lot of people in this country, particularly white people, just don't get and maybe aren't so particularly interested in getting.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was hard. And any time you're a parent and you see your child suffering because of something stupid like prejudice, bias, that type of thing, mm-hmm. it hurts you too. I felt it was real important for my kids to get good educations because I felt like that was a way for them to have a step up and have more choices. So, you know, I put money and effort into getting them good schooling and stuff, and that meant a lot to me.
As a grandmother, do you have any advice for your grandchildren and, you know, just stuff you would like us to remember you by?
Guess what I'm going to say.
What?
It has to do with school.
Yeah.
My advice to all of my grandchildren is make school important and your priority. This is the time in your life where you should be focusing on that. Not that you can't have time for other things. Hopefully you're enjoying school.
Mm.
But even if you aren't, you're giving it the priority and the importance. Okay. The other advice I have, I think it's harder coming up these days, growing up these days, than it was when I was growing up and even when my kids were growing up.
Mm.
Because of there's a lot of negative influences out there.
Mm.
This okay?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of things the kids are exposed to these days that we just weren't.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, when I was growing up, it wasn't unusual for a 12 or 13-year-old girl to still be playing with dolls. Mm. That was normal. Now you got 12 and 13-year-olds who look like they're 20 and they're playing with all kinds of stuff besides dolls. So, you know, I hope that each one of my grandsons will, I know how hard it is to have peer pressure and have people try to pull you down because you're doing well or you're trying to do the right thing, but mm-hmm. have the guts to be your own person.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you know is right. Not what's cool or what you think everybody else is going to approve of. If you learn that now as a kid, that's going to serve you well the rest of your life. And again, this is some of the time to start learning that.
After, as long as you've known me and all the stuff we've done and just the things that you see me been through.
So we're back to the question, am I proud of you?
Yes.
Most definitely. Absolutely. Without going into too much detail, I know that life has not been the easiest and simplest for you and your brothers. Hopefully things are better now because that's what you deserve. but I have always been impressed by how you got yourself through. You didn't use those pressures and stressors as excuses.
Mm-hmm.
You've always had a good attitude. And I think one of the things that really impresses me is your heart. You truly have a good heart, Jermaine.
Thank you.
And you're not afraid to show it, you know. So many young men especially are afraid to show emotions and feelings. But you have the courage to do that. And that impresses me. Because what I know about that is it takes strength to show our frailties, our weaknesses. It's the strong people who can let people see that they're human and that they hurt and that they're sad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? somebody who isn't strong is too afraid to do that. And you are one strong nude. You are. You're a good person. I am so glad you're in my life. And, I mean, it didn't take long for you to get right there in my heart. Marched right in there, buddy. You got a lot of talents. I mean, you got a lot of things going for you. So, like I said, keep that focus on school.
Yeah.
Okay, take care of business. You're going to be okay.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, honey. And you know I don't say things just to sound nice.
Yeah, yes. Okay. You know.
All right.
Thanks to Jermaine and his grandmother, and to all the students who participated in the Great Thanksgiving Listen, and to their teacher, Paul Wishigrat, who guided the students through these interviews. The Great Thanksgiving Listen was piloted in 2015 with thousands of high schools from all 50 states participating, a truly enlightening project. And that's all we have time for on The Green this week. These stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website, on iTunes, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenTE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible, contributors Rob Colless and Larry Nagengast, Mount Pleasant High School students Willow, Michael, and Jermaine with WMPH and our Generation Voice Youth Media Project, and Delaware Public Media's Katie Pikus. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne saying thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.